And welcome to episode 147 from the Veg Grower Podcast. I'm Richard, and today I'm going to be looking back over 2017 and discussing the highs and lows of this year. But before that, I have the diary. This last week has been a pretty good week, to be honest, although not much gardening has been possible after work. I did manage to continue with seed organising from last week. We did get quite a hard frost early on in the week, and this has finally killed off the jalapeno and aubergine plants that were still outside in the vegetable patch. I was kind of seeing how long I could make these plants last out of interest. And actually, I think that's pretty impressive that they've lasted till mid-December, considering they do originate from warmer climates. However, plants inside the greenhouse and potting shed all seem to be doing pretty well at the moment. Maybe starting to show signs, but they might survive. We'll see. I mean, if they make it through the year, I'm happy. I'm just kind of seeing what happens. What I'm quite impressed with, actually, is the tomato plant that is in the potting shed. That is still growing and it's flowering. And, you know, that's mid-December. I could even be having fresh tomatoes on Christmas Day. Saturday, I decided to spend a day down the allotment as the weather looked pretty good on that day. And I had a lot of jobs that I really wanted to do, especially as I haven't visited the allotment for 2 weeks. I headed down the allotment, and my first job was tackling the strimming of the grass areas. And this hasn't been done for quite a while, and it was just getting a bit long and looking untidy. I always say it's amazing the difference it makes just trimming the grass, and Saturday was no exception. It looked a lot better just doing that. With that out of the way, I planted out my broad beans, and I've been meaning to get these planted for a few weeks now. They've been sitting in a cold frame. They were doing okay in the cold frame, still growing quite well. They've been hardening off, but they needed to go into the ground at the same time. So Saturday, I finally got on and done that. Now, most of these broad beans have gone in the same bed as the peas, but I had a few extra, and they have gone into the same bed as the shallots. As I haven't been able to find any more shallot sets to plant. My next job was to open the box that my bare-rooted fruit plants came in and get these planted. I opened up the box and checked what each bundle of plants was and checked they were what I ordered, which they were. Firstly, I planted the currants, which went into where the currants were previously. The previous ones had died back for some reason and they needed replacing. I think the ones that had died back were due to me not looking after them good enough. Next, I planted the autumn raspberries, and these took up the whole bed that I had dedicated to them. So I got my 15 plants was just right. First thing I did was I just laid them out where they were to be planted and checked they would all fit. And to do this, I actually staggered the plants to maximise space. So I'd have one plant at the front, and then we'll move down a foot and plant one at the back. Move down a foot and plant one at the front. And that just meant I could fit them all in and they had enough space to grow and do their own thing. Once these were all laid out, I dug a hole big enough to fit the roots in and popped the plants in and backfilled. I repeated this with all the plants and firmed in the soil. Now, the summer raspberries needed planting, but the area where they were to be planted, it was nowhere near ready. I should have held back from ordering them, to be honest. But what I did, I done it as a temporary measure, was I just put them into pots of compost to heal them in. This will keep them living, so they won't die, and I'm now going to have to prioritise building the summer raspberry bed. Now, this is not going to be an easy job, but I want it done by the end of January. Next, I dug up even more strawberries, and to be honest, I've now dug up most of them. I've got lots of spare plants, and the rest I decided throwing away onto the compost heap. I got fed up of digging them up and trying to save them. It was a very time-consuming job, and I felt my time could be spent better elsewhere. However, that is now I've come to that, I've cleared away the first bed of strawberries, and that job is now done. I still have another bed to go, but I can see I've made progress, and I'm going to decide what I'm going to do with that second bed. After that, it was starting to get dark, and I decided to go home. So I packed everything up, got into my van, and started to drive out the allotments. Unfortunately, the road has got really wet and churned up with the tractors and construction vehicles that have been using it. And yeah, I got stuck in the mud. A neighbouring allotmenteer did come out and try and push, but he himself couldn't get grip. I tried putting woods under the front wheel, and that didn't work. I knew I could get it moved, and then I used my floor mats, just placed them under the wheels, and that got me out of the mud. And I should have done it straight away, but I didn't. I knew it was a risk when I drove down there. Normally, at this time of year, I think I should park near a gate and walk up. But I was just too eager to get on my plot, and it didn't look too bad. But again, it was, and I paid for it dearly. Sunday, I spent the day at home, and I just done my usual thing of cleaning the chickens and the quail and turning the compost bins. Actually, one of the compost bins, it seems to have suddenly emptied just from where it's rotted down pretty rapidly. So that one, I'll actually probably scoop that one all out pretty soon. After that, I watered the greenhouse, and I finally harvested the bell pepper that has been growing in there. Again, I've been seeing how long I can get it to last for. It was a really good size, and it was just starting to turn red. But I decided it was time to eat it, and it tasted really nice and sweet. Into the vegetable patch, and I pulled up the jalapeno and aubergine plants that I mentioned earlier being killed off in the frost. And after I'd done this, it actually started to rain, so I headed into the potting shed and set up a timer for the grow light bulb that I spoke of last week. Now, this come on at 4 p.m. and off at 8 p.m, and it's just extending the daylight a little bit. And I'm looking out at my potting shed right now, and sure enough, it is there lit up. So that is the diary taken care of. No, it's not. There was one more thing that I realised I didn't write down. Now, for a while, I brought a microgreens pack, and I've been meaning to test it and try it out. Well, I've finally done that on Sunday. I've had it a while. It basically comes with like a water tray and some grids that sit on top of the water tray. On the grids, you put some kitchen roll and then sprinkle over some seeds. I've done coriander and rocket. They say 6 to 12 or 6 to 10 weeks from harvesting, so we'll see how that goes. I was just more kind of experimenting and seeing how it goes with this. And I'm thinking of using up some of my old seeds to see how this goes. For those of you that don't know what microgreens are, basically microgreens are miniature plants, miniature lettuces, that sort of thing. Think of cress, that sort of thing. We use it in sandwiches and salads and stuff. It's uses up very little space and can produce a fair amount of food, is my understanding. And I'm going to dabble into microgreens more because it's something I certainly feel I should be doing more. Now, that is the diary taken care of. I think it's still amazing how much work is being done at this time of year when everything is meant to be slowing down. But I'm not the type to slow down. I do like to keep going. Now, looking back over 2017, it's interesting to me how much has changed and how far I've come. When we started 2017, we gardened in one allotment and the vegetable patch. We only had the chickens back then as well. When I started the year, I had high dreams and hopes to have plots overflowing with food and looking absolutely pristine and gorgeous. Did it work that way? Well, let's find out. It wasn't long into the year when I got offered the second plot, which was directly next to the plot I had. And I of course grabbed the chance to extend my allotment plot. And within taking on the plot, I the first thing I did was walk around, and I figured that I was just going to maintain it as it was. It was already set up, beds in place, it just meant I had to plant and weed. And I was aiming to focus my energy on the original plot that way. I started sowing seeds in January, as I do every year, and I found that the system I set up, sowing seeds and putting them in one heated propagator, and then as they reached different stages, moved them onto another propagator and so on and what have you. It worked for me. It felt organised. I had a system in place. It was a lot of work with all the pricking out and potting on, which of course I did fall a bit behind, but it did work for me. When it came to planting time, everything got filled up pretty quickly, and I did wonder if I was going to have enough space. I planted what I wanted and filled my land up, and all the extra plants were sold down the car boot. And the proceeds from that actually paid for the allotments. So I think that was a really good thing to do, and balances each other out. Now, late spring, we did have a really late frost, of which killed... It didn't kill off my early potato plants, but it damaged them, it froze them. They recovered, but the harvests weren't great from them, including my ever-so-reliable home guard that I've grown for a few years now and has never let me down well this year. And this was actually a major lesson for me. I probably got a bit too complacent over frosts and didn't... Down here, we don't really get hard frosts that late in the year. We do get a mild frost. That's quite common up to about May, but a hard frost like that, very, very rare. I mean, bringing it up to today, I still haven't had snow here. So anyway, that was a lesson learnt, and I've made sure I've got fleeces at them. As we went through the year, something I know I didn't do enough of was watering and feeding. I was a bit better with watering at the home plot because it's a smaller area, but I still could have done better. And feeding, because I tend to try and feed the soil, not the plants, which is part of the no-dig method. I think that kind of meant the plants did get enough food, but I do think I could have fed them a lot more and we could have been looking at better harvests. I mean, I was really, really pleased with all the harvests that did come in. When they started coming in, and those asparaguses were amazing and tasted so good. And that was really early April, if I remember right. And I really like asparagus, and I really felt like I had done well with those. I'm actually, with all the other fruit and vegetables that have been harvested in, it's been a steady supply all year, which is what I always have aimed to achieve. And I'm very, very pleased to say that every meal we have eaten this year has incorporated something that has been home. We're still not quite fully self-sufficient in the fruit and vegetable areas, but we're getting really near, and our food bills have really gone down quite significantly now. And I'm really pleased with that. Harvests that have been pretty good this year were actually tomatoes. The tomatoes done really well. The asparagus, rhubarb, and so on. Things that were a bit of a failure this year, the sweet potatoes, they just didn't come up to anything, or very little, but that's down to the weather. The cider apples, I did get a decent harvest out of those, but there wasn't enough that I wanted to make cider. Now, I mentioned rhubarb just now, and how we done it really well was, well, we haven't had to buy rhubarb at all, and that has been a real big success in my book. Admittedly, we do have quite a few rhubarb crowns, but we do like our crumbles and our chutneys, and this was all made from the homegrown stuff. We've also really been fully self-sufficient in eggs from the chickens. Now, 2016, the chickens were in their first year and they were laying prolifically. And I would actually say we probably had too many. In 2017, egg production did drop just slightly. Not a huge amount, but just slightly. Just as they got a bit older, they're not going to lay every single day like they did last year. But I'm still getting the eggs most days. We also got the odd soft-shelled eggs from them. But, you know, we were still getting enough eggs. We never ran out of eggs and we never had to buy any eggs. But I did realise from that why a lot of chicken farms get rid of their eggs after a year. Because financially, it probably does. Now, May was actually very warm. The summer itself was warm and wet. And the rain brought along my number one problem, tomato blight. Before the blight hit, all my tomato plants were grown really, really well. And we were just starting to harvest them when blight hit. I took action straight away to try and stop the blight by cutting the bad bits out and all that. But the plants just got destroyed. So I cut them down and burned them. But the real heroes here were the blight-resistant varieties, the Crimson Crush and the Mountain Magic. They actually continued. Although I didn't look after them very well, and I could have looked after them a lot better, they coped with the blight absolutely fine. So it wasn't lost from them, and I got plenty of tomatoes. And in fact, my Crimson Crush were really big tomatoes. So I'm really, really pleased with that. I've spoke before how pleased I am with Crimson Crush. And I'll grow them every year from now on, as will the Mountain Magic. Just purely because of their blight resistant qualities. Now in late summer, I actually received some awful news that my cousin had committed suicide. And I found with the podcasts and all the YouTube channel, I was able to really get it out of my system by talking about it, because it was really quite hard. I was very close to my cousin, as I may have said, and it played on my mind quite a bit. But something I did feel was my belief that gardening can really help with depression and other illnesses. And many of you listeners out there actually came back to me and said you have found the same with your own in your life, that gardening has really helped you. And this really reinforced my belief for that. I'm still trying to figure out a way to use this platform and get gardening to help others in this similar situation. It's too late for my cousin, of course, but I still want to help others in his memory. If I can stop, it's going to be probably a pipe dream, but if I stop one person committing suicide, it'd be like I helped my cousin. And yeah, it's a very hard thing, the loss of someone in the best of times. But I just want to thank everyone for their kind messages and show support you gave me at that time. It was really appreciated and comforting. I really can't find the words to express my gratitude. Into the autumn, and it's what I actually regard as the start of a gardening year. I've made all the plans what I wanted to do on the plots. Based on like the newer allotment, I'd learned from the past year what was working, what I needed to do there, and all that sort of thing, and how I was going to plan, build it, and everything like that. The older half of the plot, the original allotment, I guess, it was maintained a lot better than what I had before. But there's still areas I'm not happy with, especially amongst the raspberries, and this is what I'm going to be concentrating on and getting a lot better. But all this entire year, it has been developing my experience and enabled me to use this experience. Yes, I should have sown more seeds at this time for winter crops, but I felt it was better to hold off for this year so I can get infrastructure built. In my eyes, it's far better to be patient and do things right than. Now, in recent weeks, the latest project has, of course, been the quail I rescued. These birds have been really, really cool. And while we started with five and we quickly lost three, but we gained more and lost them as well. We do have the two birds that would have otherwise. These birds so far have really fitted really well into my gardening. They've just been as easy to care for the chickens. Whilst at the moment I haven't had any eggs from them, they're still young and we will continue to see it to continue with this project. The whole aim of this kind of project is to discover whether quails are really suitable for you guys out there who are unable to keep. So far I have to say that I believe that they are going to be quite suitable. Compared to chickens, they eat less, need less space, and they're just as easy to care for, if not easier. The downsides in comparison with chickens is they don't do as much work in a garden, like the chickens eat, dig up the weeds and eat slugs and snails. And of course with quails the eggs will be smaller. But if you can't have chickens, quail are definitely going to be an option to consider, and it's something that I'm going to be demonstrating more with this project on how well they fit in. I'm hoping we'll be using them for bug on plants and stuff, kind of eating the bugs and stuff, but we'll go more onto that into 2018, sorry. Now, that is a bit of a review on 2017. It was actually quite a bit to go through, but to condense it down to a reasonable size podcast was quite difficult. For me, they've been the highs and lows. It's been a really good year. As I said, the food production is up. The productivity is up. The enjoyment is up. I'm still loving it. So that is it. And I know this has been a pretty long podcast compared to my usual. But evaluating the highs and lows of a year is always worth doing. Next week, there will be a show on Monday, on Christmas Day. I'm going to publish it in the morning. It'll be a pre-recorded one. So if you want to listen to it while you're cooking your Christmas dinner or you're just having a few minutes to chill out from everything, then come along and join me on that show. Of course, it'll be there for as long as the website's up and running, so you can listen to it anytime. But of course, if you don't listen to me on Christmas Day, I wish you a very happy Christmas or whatever religious holiday you celebrate. And we will speak to you all again on the next time. So please take care till then.